All right, Alexander, we need to discuss what's going on between Greece and Turkey and the potential for conflict in the Mediterranean. Okay, Turkish jets consistently, thousands of times a year, consistently violate Greek airspace. The Greeks have become quite used to it. I don't personally agree with the Greeks being used to it. But okay, you have two NATO countries, and it seems like they've managed to manage the situation of Turkish provocations over Greek airspace. But in this instance, we actually had two F-16s that engaged in over the Mediterranean, off the coast of Cyprus, to be more exact. So quite removed from Greek airspace and more towards Cypriot airspace. Nothing happened, but the Turkish F-16 did have the Greek, from what we understand, and from video that I've seen, did have the Greek F-16 locked in. I do understand that the Greek pilots did call for reinforcements, and after that, the situation calmed down and nothing happened, luckily. But outside of that, Alexander, we definitely have some movement on the EU front. It looks like sanctions will snap onto Turkey. And more importantly, it looks like Emmanuel Macron is taking a very hard line against Turkey with regards to the Mediterranean. Let me read you what he said in a recent statement. When it comes to Mediterranean sovereignty, I have to be consistent in deeds and words. I can tell you that the Turks only consider and respect that. If you say words that are not followed by acts, what France did this summer was important. It is a red line policy. I did it in Syria. Now, I don't know what he means by I did it in Syria, but I think the fact that he's saying if that the Turks respect acts and not words, I think is Macron telling Erdogan, don't press your luck, otherwise France will engage, unlike what you've been seeing between the Greeks and the Turks, where you've seen no engagement to this point, or perhaps what you've seen between the Turks and the Russians, where the Turks actually did engage the Russians and the Russians cowered away and backed off. This time, you actually see Macron telling Erdogan, if you cross a red line, that's what I'm reading from his statement, if you cross a red line, France will hit you with axe. And that's a quote, axe. What do you make of what's going on, Alexander?
Right. Let's take, because you there's 3 points that you've made, and I think you're right on all three, by the way. Firstly, I completely agree with it. It is entirely wrong for a sovereign nation like Greece to accept as a normal activity the repeated incursions of the military forces of another power into their airspace. I don't think any country should do that. That has been a policy of appeasement. I think it is overdue that it should be reversed. The second thing to say is that, as I understand it, those two Greek fighters were actually intercepted after they had been in on sort of maneuvers, joint maneuvers with Cyprus. But I've also spoken in the past, not about this incident, but in the past, with people who are themselves military pilots, and they tell me that to lock on an airplane is considered an exceptionally aggressive move. Well, when the Russians and the Americans, meet each other in sort of hostile situations, they avoid doing that because that's seen as a step towards actual military engagement. But if we are talking about Macron, what Macron said, he is absolutely signaling France's readiness to engage Turkey militarily. When he's talking about red lines, what he is actually referring to is the Duma incident. Now, we know that the story about the Duma incident is simply not true, that there was no chemical attack in Duma. We've discussed this many times in our programs. But prior to that incident, Macron had said that if there was a chemical attack in Syria, there would be a French military response. There was a chemical attack allegedly in Douma, And there was a military response. The United States was involved. Britain was involved. And so was France. The French were part of that military, those military strikes on Syrian air bases that took place directly after the Douma incident. So when Macron talks about red lines, he is talking about a red line which, if it's crossed, will result in military action. And he is referring back to Douma, and he is telling Turkey, he's telling Erdogan, if your aircraft cross certain red lines in the Eastern Mediterranean, France is willing to start taking military action against Turkey. We would have a situation then when, on top of the sanctions that the EU is already discussing against Turkey, we would have military conflict between three NATO powers, Greece and France on the one side, Turkey on the other. I have never known that to happen within NATO before, but that is clearly the scenario that Macron is now preparing for.
All right. What are the chances that as we approach winter, Erdogan does engage with either Greece or France? I mean, actually does something. He, once again, I'll repeat, he has done it with Russia. It's not beyond Erdogan to do something. What are the chances, especially given the fact that the Turkish economy is in complete meltdown mode? What are the chances that Erdogan just says, you know what? I'm moving all my chips in. I'm going all in, and I'm going to create a conflict.
He has up to now shown a consistent tendency to pull back when he finds himself in a real crisis. But I don't know about this one. I'm getting the sense that he's too far in and he doesn't really know where, he doesn't really know how to get out of it and how to stop. I think we are closer to seeing this conflict escalate than we have ever been before. And I say that, you know, I'm not somebody who thinks Erdogan, as I said, is generally someone, the sort of person who would want to go all out into a conflict. But I think on this occasion, he might do. So I think this may be, let's put it like this, I'd say it's 50-50. A few weeks ago, I would have said almost no chance. But the economy is in meltdown in Turkey, as you say. He's taken this extraordinary step with Hagia Sophia, which we've discussed in other programs. He seems to be on a move towards taking very strong action, towards, in effect, overreacting. He's pushing on all fronts. He's losing to some extent on all fronts. I suspect he senses the popular support in Turkey is shifting away from him. So I think there's a fair chance this time that he will go all in. By the way, he did exactly what you predicted a few weeks ago when we last discussed this. within the last couple of days, he's called Putin and he's been trying, I think, to get Russian support. There's been no Russian words of support for him in this issue. But I think, you know, that makes me think that the very fact that he's called Putin, the very fact that he's taking all this aggressive action. I come back to what I said, this aircraft locking into a Greek aircraft. It's a very aggressive step. It seems to me that he's not going to back down easily this time and that the risk of an armed conflict is real.
What does that mean? I mean, you know, I'll go back once again to the Russian scenario.
Yeah.
Erdogan shot down a Russian jet.
Yeah.
The Russians backed off. I think that emboldened Erdogan. And I think that's, you know, Russia plays a big part, a big fault in this, because they have been emboldening Erdogan for the past 3-4 years by, I don't even want to say taking a soft stance against him, but literally backing off against every single provocation that he's done against the Russians. And I think that's kind of exploded Erdogan's mind in him saying, you know what, if I can punch the Russians and step on the Russians at every single turn, whether it's shooting down a jet or in Syria, then I can easily deal with the Egyptians or the Greeks or the French. But in this scenario, I think Macron is actually, dare I say, really means what he says. And unlike Putin, I really think Macron, if Erdogan dares to do anything towards France, I think Macron will hit Turkey hard. And I also think if he does anything against Greeks, the Greeks will hit Turkey hard, and that may mean with the Greeks, Egypt, and France. So what, game plan this out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, what happened with Russia was that the Russians imposed sanctions and they stopped their holiday people from holidaying in Turkey, and they deployed S-400 missiles to Syria. So they did respond.
And they gave him S-400s.
And then Erdogan gave them a sort of half apology, and they made it up, and then they built Turk Stream, and they did all kinds of other things. But I agree, he wriggled out of that one. I think this time he's not really in a position to wriggle out of anything, because I think that he's got nothing to offer Macron that Macron remotely wants. I mean, what can Turkey give France that Macron would be interested in? And the same applies, by the way, to Greece. I mean, what exactly is Erdogan going to do with Greece that, you know, is going to, or Cyprus, if it comes to that? I mean, back off completely? Well, difficult to see him doing that. So he has maneuvered himself into a position where he's going to find it extremely difficult, it seems to me, both to retreat, and he has nothing to offer the other side that might give the other side any incentive to deal with him. So I think that he's in a very awkward and straight, difficult position, actually. Now, Erdogan has never been quite in such a tight corner before. As I said, he's always found ways with the Russians. And I think that's, you're right, by the way, that's emboldened him. It's made him think that if he plays people, you know, long and hard enough, he can somehow find some kind of way round. He's also played the same sorts of games with the Americans, by the way. I mean, he's constantly played, you know, friends one day, enemies the next day with the Americans. And it's never fully led to a complete and total break with the Americans. I think this time he's up against a completely different quality of opposition. Don't know whether he's really understood this. And I think the fact that he's been able to pull it off on other occasions might make him think that if he doubles down and takes more risks and, you know, plays hard, that somehow he can pull it off this time in the same way that he did it with the Russians and with the Americans. I don't think it's going to work. I think that Macron's language is very strong. I think that if there is a Turkish shoot down, either a Greek or French aircraft or an attack on French or Greek ships, I think this thing could escalate. And I come back to what I said previously before. France is an immeasurably more powerful country than Turkey. Its military operates on a completely different scale of sophistication. So, of course, France doesn't have vast air fleets in the way that the United States does, or to some extent Russia does. But it's got powerful missiles, it's got powerful ships, it can launch missile attacks on Turkish military bases in Turkey. And of course, he can press very hard, even harder, for even harder sanctions on Turkey at the EU level. And I think the Germans, reluctant though they are gradually being pushed along. So I think if Erdogan goes for broke, finds himself in a war situation, he will find that there is no real diplomatic exit to it. He will find himself under attack in ways that he can't properly retaliate against. I mean, how is Turkey going to attack France? It just isn't really an option. And I think that not only will he suffer military losses, which will be real, but I think he will suffer very profound economic losses too. Now, the question then is, how stable is his regime in Turkey itself? Would he be able to ride out a conflict? And if he did, where would he lead Turkey from then on? Would he, you know, go even further for broke, pull Turkey out of NATO, as he sometimes hinted he'd be prepared to do? Would Turkish public opinion support him in that? There are many imponderables in this situation, and I get the sense that he's not worked it out.
Yeah, and we can't forget that the Turkish military is not what it used to be because of Erdogan. He's hollowed out much of the top brass of the Turkish military after the coup. So, I mean, this military, if they do decide to have any kind of conflict with these powers in the Mediterranean, they're going to get demolished.
Absolutely. And the Air Force has been especially hard hit by the purges because, of course, the Air Force strongly backed the attempted coup against him. So he has absolutely decimated its middle and upper ranks. So it's in no condition to launch the kind of coordinated war, especially against the Air Force of France that, it never was in a good position, but I mean, it's in no position to fight a prolonged war in that kind of way.
Okay, so you mentioned sanctions. France can also apply really tough. France, Greece, they could apply some back-breaking sanctions on Turkey. Absolutely. Will sanctions from the EU bite this time? I mean, will they affect the Turkish economy?
See, this is the other thing. I don't think Merkel wants a showdown with Erdogan. In fact, she's made it very clear that she doesn't. But I think she's now also finds herself, oddly enough, in a corner. Because if she doesn't back Macron, who is, you know, her major partner within the EU, then Germany's position starts to look incredibly insecure and very precarious also. So at that point, I think that she will back sanctions. She might try to water them down. But given how precarious the Turkish economy is at the moment, I think this is going to lead to an even further implosion. And one has to understand something. I mean, you know, there are some countries that are very, you know, well organized economically and can cope with sanctions. Russia is the country we were thinking about here. It's a huge a continental sized economy, self-sufficient in food and energy, sophisticated industries, sophisticated technology, strong banking system. Turkey has none of these things. It may seem at some levels like a big economy, and it's got some technology, some advanced technology industries, but it's not really in a position to withstand a prolonged sanctions war. So what does Turkey do in that kind of situation? It's very difficult to know. And would Erdogan, would his regime be able to survive that? And how would he respond if there was a major economic crisis in Turkey? Which there would be. There would be an economic implosion if there were EU sanctions on Turkey. So what happens? What happens to Turkey then? Would there be an uprising? He's got support so far of some people, but if there's the economy is pressed very hard, would they continue to support him? If he faces mass opposition, would the security forces support him in that situation? And even if he survives it and rides it out, what does he do next? Does he withstand the kind of economic siege that Iran faces? Does he go to the United States and try and make up with them, say that he's going to call off the S-400 buy, which from his point of view, maybe that wasn't such a good idea because it's annoyed the US too. What does he do in this situation? I don't get the impression that Erdogan has thought this through. Because I don't think Erdogan ever thought that he'd find himself in the situation that he's in now. I think he thought he could bluff his way and threaten his way out of every kind of problem. And I don't know that he can on this occasion. So logically, he should back off. But I sense that this time he might not do so. So it's a complicated situation, not a good one. And, we could see serious instability in Turkey in a year's time, or even a few months' time.
All right, final question. Will Russia help Erdogan? Will it come to back him if there is some sort of conflict?
No, I mean, what, militarily? Absolutely not. I mean, there's no conceivable way in which Russia would send its forces. I mean, they're not interested in a war in the Eastern Mediterranean on Erdogan's behalf. Why would they be? Economically, well, I don't really think Erdogan has much to offer Russia anymore. I mean, TurkStream is built. It's a done thing. In a sense, I suspect that there must be some hard-headed people in Russia, in Moscow. In fact, I'm sure there are some very tough-minded people who say, look, we got everything we could out of Erdogan. He's now a problem for us too. He's not really sorted things out in Idlib province or in Syria. He's sort of trying to cling on there, which is making it more difficult for us to stabilize Syria. So, you know, better that he goes and that a more moderate government, a less Islamist government, replaces him in Turkey. And, you know, that will enable us to sort out Syria. We'll still have Turkstream because we got that. And, you know, our holiday makers can still go to Turkey and we can still go on buying, you know, fruit and vegetables from there. So, I mean, you know, from the Russian point of view, I think he's outlived his usefulness in a sense. I don't mean that they want to overthrow him, but I mean, I don't think that they will want to pull, you know, the coals out of the fire for him either. And I don't think, by the way, and this is a point I really want to stress, I don't think they have any geostrategic plan to try to detach Turkey from NATO. I don't think that's part of the way the Russians view this at all, because I don't think they believe that will happen.
All right. I wouldn't be surprised if Erdogan presses too hard that we may see another type of coup.
I wouldn't
like
be surprised.
We saw in 2016.
Absolutely. It was 2016. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if that's exactly what happens. I'm not saying that it will. I mean, I'm not sure.
No, I'm just,
yeah. I'm not sure how stable his regime is. My sense is that its point of peak stability has passed. And whereas at the time of the previous coup, for example, people in Istanbul came out onto the streets to oppose the coup when they heard that Erdogan was still alive and, you know, on his airplane, and the mosques called the people out. I don't think they would do this time, at least not to the same degree. So I think if there's a military coup, it may be more difficult to resist. And on the other hand, if there's a popular uprising, it might be more difficult to expect the military to support him, especially, of course, if the military have faced a defeat at the hands of France in the Eastern Mediterranean, and they feel angry and humiliated with Erdogan for leading them into that kind of situation.
All right. Very unstable situation. We will be on top of it. Alexander Berkuris, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that red subscribe button so you can get a notification every time we push out a new video and every time we go live with our live stream shows. Also, please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this small channel up and running and moving forward. And please go to the Durant shop and pick up some merchandise. We've got magic mugs. We've got shirts, polo shirts, t-shirts.
I've got Greece, and it's the smaller mug. Armenia and Greece, by the way, great friends, and we've had long close friendships. And of course, we've also got our enameled mugs. Some of you will know that I've been on a walking holiday in the Peak District in England. And of course, I had my enamel mug with me there. And we've also got other great things. We've got amazing new shirts. Alex is wearing one. You can see it. It's got amazing new shirts that we have. Some of them, he's working hard on embroidered shirts. We've got new hats. We've got, trucker's hats and baseball caps and embroidered caps. And we've also got amazing new videos. So you've got all of these amazing products in our shop, which you can come to and buy, and you will support the Durant by doing so. So come to our shop, support the Durant, and Alex will quickly remind you how to do that.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. Alexander Merkuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.